Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to the Must Hear Music Podcast. We are here doing the year-end edition, so we're doing the Must Hear albums, songs, mixtapes, whatevers and what have yous of 2016.
So I didn't bring any what have yous. I think I might.
I brought enough what have yous for everyone, so don't worry about that. My name is Joe Lynch, and I'm here with Jason Lipschutz.
What's up, man?
And Natalie Weiner.
Hey.
And thanks for joining me, guys.
I'm excited. This is great. You know what's great? I don't know any of the songs or albums or whatever that you guys want
to talk about.
Yeah, well, we've done.
No, I know, but I don't know like what your respective picks are.
Oh, I'm sure
and
you
like,
can guess
and I
what
like
they
it
are.
That way. I actually can. I don't know. I feel like I could guess some of Natalie's, but
Joe's what does that Joe's mean? I'm just so like predictable.
Well, no, I mean, I don't know. Maybe you stand harder than Joe, and that's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you wear your loves on your sleeve.
I'm just trying to I'm trying to look at my
email.
Because
I'm always wearing
a
cardigan. My sleeves are covered. Sort of. Anyways,
There's sleeves on a cardigan.
That's
Joe,
true.
So.
Never mind. Doesn't matter. Okay. So yeah, 2016, terrible year, but a lot of good music this year. Surprisingly, it's very eclectic. I mean, I have to say, like, why? Well, fuck, I can't remember. Ooh, we should cut that word out. I can't remember the last time that there's been a lot of years where I've been like, oh, what a good year for music, but it's like very eclectic this year. Like a lot of genres that I'm usually not kind of paying attention to have given me things I've enjoyed this year. Like, just to start off with one, I'm not like super country, but I love the Maren Morris. Like that
me
album
too.
Is so sure. good.
Me too.
The song Rich and My Church are just like bangers, like so much fun to listen to. I mean, yeah, let's chat about that for a second.
I mean, I think Maren really just succeeded. She came with something that was so cohesive and so polished and so well put together. Like, it was just hard to top as far as country albums or albums, period, I think. It was certainly up there for me as, like, one of my top ones. Like, you know, maybe I'm not, like, Maren Morris is the most genius artist of our time, but that album is one that I listen to over and over and over and over and over again. You know, it's just, like, really good songs.
One of the things I like about the Maren album is that I think My Church is just, like, a clear standout, like, one of the singles of the year. And, you know, I'm a big Kacey Musgraves fan, and one of the things that I'm waiting for her is that kind of, like, overwhelming single that kind of stands out. And I love like Follow Your Arrow is a great song and Biscuits is a great song, but I don't think something has like that kind of center of gravity as My Church. And
right.
the rest of the album, the rest of Hero is great. It's a great listen, but like I like having that like go-to like phenomenal single that just is an
right.
introduction.
I don't know, for me like that's not my favorite song of hers.
Really?
I mean, it's good, but it's just it's a little it's just kind of there's some other songs that are so much more like nuanced in a clever way, you know, like I like it, it's fun, but like Rich is such a good song, like that's just like, you know, it's relatable and it's like, but it's still very pop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
it's got
I
bit more of a narrative to it.
That's probably why I like it so much. Like I loved Shania Twain's Come On Over growing up, but I'm not like a huge country listener otherwise. Mm-hmm. So I think anything that kind of like crosses that like country pop crossover. Definitely. Like very clean production.
Yes.
You know, sing along sort
stripped
of
down, but yeah, like
construction.
I mean, it's very Sheryl Crow, and you ask her, she'll say, "I love Sheryl Crow. I want to be the next Sheryl Crow." Like, she's not hiding that. You know, you can hear that in the album. It's definitely like extreme Sheryl redux.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Shout out to Sheryl,
who's also working on new music right now, I believe.
Well, don't care about that. just kidding. We do, but that's not best of 2016.
I know. Okay. Sorry.
So that is not just on topic.
Adding
Natalie.
Some wow. industry insight.
Ooh,
Joe.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you heard it here first.
It's not here first. She's been tweeting about it.
But then you whatever. Didn't hear it here first.
You might have heard it here first. Basically be sitting on a big ass pile of dimes, and all the time that you make my heart feel cheap, I might as well want the lottery. All of this pain in me cursing your name would just turn into dollar signs, cause I'd be rich, head to toe Prada, Benz in the driveway, yacht in the water. Well, what have you guys, I mean, so we're approaching the end of the year, what are the ones...
Well, here, this is what I'm going to ask. Is there anything that you hadn't been listening to throughout this year that you kind of circled back to at the very end? You know, I do that a lot where I'll kind of like in the back of my mind, like, oh, I should listen to that. And then I don't bother till the end of the year. And then I get back to it and I'm like, oh, actually, I love this. Like for me, The Marin was one of those. I only recently, like the last month, got into it.
Right.
The Car Seat Headrest, because I had listened to some of his early stuff.
And you asked me. You were like,
I found
this,
it annoying, but I really do like the new album.
Okay,
a lot.
Good. Because Joe messaged me one day and was like, is this Car Seat Headrest album worth checking out? I was like, yeah, it really is. So
I'm glad
you like
I did.
It.
It's very clever.
Yeah, it's great.
Really enjoyable. And blah, blah, blah. But what are ones that you guys have circled around to that you had kind of been avoiding or just hadn't got around to listening to?
I defer to Natalie.
Me?
Yeah.
I don't really have albums like that because I've been sort of bad about like checking out new stuff. I mean, sort of, I don't even want to really talk about Kanye because of everything. I don't know what the state of things will be by the time this goes live. But it's just like, I mean, that album... You know, politics aside, it was a great album. And, it definitely fell out of my personal rotation a little bit. But then I thought about it again. And
as a whole, it's kind of such a sprawling mess, but in a good way. But I mean, I still listen to, like, Ultralight Beam, I listen to at least once a week. Like, it's such a beautiful, good, wonderful song.
It is.
And, Fade is just an incredible
Fade. I mean, when you listen, you're just like, it's still, the songs are so arresting, you know? Like, even if you don't like them, it's just like, you put them on and it's like, whoa, like, I'm awake now, you know? Like, there's something crazy happening here. Maybe crazy good and maybe crazy bad, but it's certainly, like, really compelling. I mean, like, do I like all the lyrics? No. But, like, I love Father Stretch My Hands, part one. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, I love Fade. I don't know. They're good. And so that was one that I was just kind of like, oh, this really is one of the top albums of the year for me.
One of the things, for me, I spent a lot of Thanksgiving weekend listening to albums that I kind of missed that were starting to get into like, not even year end, but I was just kind of looking through like different sites and seeing like Metacritic and stuff like that. And I've discovered a lot of stuff, but the one that's like going to be in my top 10 is the one that I feel like is kind of getting the resurgence on all the year end lists, which is Pine Grove Cardinal. And they're this this band from Montclair, New Jersey. Shout out to New Jersey. And I just love this album so much. I don't know if either of you guys have heard it.
Now, tell me more.
It's very unique in the sense that it's the... the lead singer, whose name is Evan, and I'm blanking on his last name, he has this sort of folk vocal delivery, and his songwriting is very much like very detailed in the way of like a country singer or a folk singer.
Mm-hmm.
But and the rest of the band does kind of have that little folk rock vibe, but it also is like some of the songs wouldn't sound out of place in terms of the production and the arrangements on like a pop punk album.
Mm.
I just think it's a really interesting mix, and it's a super short album. It's only 8 songs. It's a little under 30 minutes, and I just think it's one of those things where you... I've been listening to it nonstop over the past couple weeks. I went out of my way to see them live since then. They played in New York last week. And yeah, I just like, I'm really like entranced by this album. It's just like, there's
a good word.
Yeah, no, I mean,
quite
I just,
a verb.
I know. It's just, it's something that like I've kind of burrowed into, and I remember
you're entranced and burrowing at the same time.
You know, it's
lots
not
of
hard
good word choices.
It's not hard to do both. But
find you a man that can
yeah,
do both.
Exactly.
Anyway, sorry.
No, it's just it's funny because I've been seeing it pop up more and more on year end lists. Like I think it was on the Pitchfork list and pretty high on the Spin list, and I think a lot of people are kind of getting around to it as well. I think it's kind of a great word of mouth record, and I hope people listening to this podcast get around to it because it's really great.
Yeah,
I'd be interested to see what you actually think of it.
I'll check it out. Yeah,
as like a, because you're like a folk guy, I would say.
I narrowed my eyes as you said. I like folk. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it's not like one
on.
Of my.
Well,
I really? Like it. Yeah, I mean, I, right, well. Certain folk artists I like a lot, but it's not a.
Not a go-to.
It's yeah, it's not a go-to. I mean, like, I love Joni Mitchell, but she does folk and a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, like, in terms of contemporary folk, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't know. I just,
it goes hit and miss, you know?
Well, there you go.
Like, once you veer into,
just
like...
Just because he's wearing a cardigan doesn't mean he likes folk music, Jason.
Just because I used to be one of the Kingsmen doesn't mean...
What does that mean?
Kingsmen Trio with, like, a college... That's okay. Why I said because of cardigan. They, like... played colleges in the 50s and 60s and wore sweaters and
oh yeah okay no I was reference. Actually just reading about them in that Grammy piece that I did. Go
yeah they
it.
Won a ton of Grammys and mm-hmm. sold a ton of albums back in the day, and now no one like thinks
no
about
one knows
them
who they are. Those are the most interesting people.
I know, those are always like, and I wish I could remember the name because this makes the story totally pointless, but I was looking up like the biggest selling artist of the 1920s mm-hmm. was someone who like you Google his name and you can like barely find anything about him. Like it's
yeah.
just stuff like that is so fascinating.
No,
I
mean Herb Alpert. Yo, he's like one of the best selling artists of the
well, yeah.
Universe.
That's you go through old vinyl stacks. It's that Whipped Cream and Other Delights album.
Yeah.
It's like every other
copy,
every other
yeah.
LP.
This is a strange.
Yeah, we're going like
okay.
into like 50, 60 year old music. Not, yeah.
You know what? Joe and I are both old at heart, so
it's very true.
Anyways, so okay, so yes, so you gave one.
I sort of gave
you
one.
You in sort Kanye. Of endorsed Kanye.
Yes.
I'm gonna go for the one that is my number one, and also the one that I'm sure Jason can guess. The Anani album, Hopelessness.
Okay. That's your number one album.
Yes, it's just like it's just such. So anyways,
Joe.
It's...
Disappointed.
That's
what?
Crazy.
Why?
Anyways, so for years, there was a band, Anthony and the Johnsons, who I really liked, kind of like Baroque sort of indie pop. this year, Anani released her first album. And the spelling is, because it's kind of hard to Google, A-N-O-H-N-I. The album is called Hopelessness, and it's just, it's a totally original, like completely unlikely album. And I say unlikely because like the themes are so weighty and hefty, but the music is so beautiful and really like it's like shimmering kind of synth pop. Some of the stuff is like almost danceable, and yet the themes are these really dark things. The main song everyone's been talking about at the year end is Drone Bomb Me, and another one is called 4 Degrees. And
I love 4 Degrees.
4 Degrees might
four
be
degrees.
My favorite. But basically, like, so Drone Bomb Me is a plea, you know, it's from the perspective of someone in the Middle East who's kind of romantically begging to be drone bombed and, you know, basically killed. The idea is, like, exploring kind of American or even in a general sense, like, Western culpability and just, like, any person who lives in this world, you know, whether or not you're for or against war, like, we all live and benefit in a society that mm-hmm. carries out these atrocities, you know, even
right.
on, so, even, whatever, anyways, without getting on a soapbox. So it's like, how do you kind of, like, come to terms with your role in that?
Right.
Similarly, 4 Degrees is him, like, cheering on global warming, which, as far as we know, you know, within 100 years is going to make it so a vast, if not majority, but a ton of species just, like, go extinct, because like there won't be enough water, and they will, you know, just dehydrate, and trees will fall, and da da da. Anyways, again, without getting on a soapbox.
Thanks, Joe.
It's a clever way of doing it. So she takes this perspective of like cheering on this death, the destruction, and climate change to kind of like make you confront the reality of it, and kind of make you realize that like, yeah, these are like things that are happening or that will happen. And you know, how do we kind of deal with the intrinsic guilt in that? And I just say, it's so weird because usually stuff like that, I would be like, oh God, that's so heavy. And like, I'll listen to it, but then I'll never want to listen to it again. But it's like the music is so beautiful that you end up returning to this insanely heavy material. And it's just, it's such a crazy trick. Like how anyone can pull that off is just astonishing. So for politics and just for like repeat listenability, that's my number one.
Wow. Well, there you go.
No, I'm glad you really like it. I am. So backstory, I don't know if I've discussed this with Joe. Anthony the Johnsons is one of my all time favorite artists, and I like have an Anthony the Johnsons t-shirt at home. And me in college, Chris Payne of Billboard as well. Chris Payne and I went to an Anthony the Johnsons show. And we were very emotional together. It was lovely.
I thought that was going to be where the story turned to the bad part.
I'm a huge Anthony the Johnsons fan. I was really disappointed in this album.
Shaking my head.
I know. Well, I mean, I agree with everything you said, except that I think the lyrics are not to my liking. Let's just call it that. I think it's a very admirable album in terms of trying something radically new.
Mm-hmm.
But like there's that song that's called Obama in the middle, and yeah, it's just I can't even take it. Anyway, this is the best of 2016. I don't mean to crap all over your favorite
album. Discussion,
but that's the thing, is that I just can't get past the lyrics, because it's a bummer. It kind of ruins the whole thing for me, but what can you say? So drone bomb me. Blow me from the mountains and into the sea. Blow me from the side of the mountain. Blow my head off. Explode my crystal guts. Lay my purple on the grass.
Well, in the spirit of talking about activism, I mean, I feel like YG just serves a mention.
Yeah, still brazy. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I just think, like, for me, you know, Fuck Donald Trump came out and everybody was kind of like, ha ha, like, this is a joke, kind of. You know, like, nobody really took it seriously when it dropped, just because it was YG and just the tone of the way they rolled it out. But you listen to it, and it's like, all the things he says are legit, you know? Like, he's like, I like white people, but I don't like you. Like, that's literally the way the song starts. And it's just, like, the way he talks about Trump is so frank and so astute, and he really touches on like a lot of the issues that are troubling about the fact that this is a person that we've elected, you know, and he was doing this before he was actually elected, way before, you know, before it really even seemed urgent to address Donald Trump. YG released this song, and it's only become like, it's really become more significant with time, I think, and it's in my top 10 for sure, because I think it's just like, it takes guts to be a commercial artist and to take a stand, and you can see that in the fact that he stands alone, really, as far as people who are on major labels who have openly said, like, this is a song that I'm going to release as a commercial single saying, fuck Donald Trump. Like, that's, you know, that's brave, and it's just, you know, like I said, he's only one, you know, and that means something.
Yeah. It's a good, I mean, the whole album's really good, too. Yeah. Like, it's just, I love like the I still love the reinvention of YG after like such a weird beginning with Toot It and Boot It, and then you have My Crazy Life, just an awesome album, and now he's continuing with it. So yeah, good pick.
No, he's great. He's like, he's an interesting guy.
Another album that kind of falls into the, since we're going on the activism route, excuse me, that I loved was the Blood Orange Freetown Sound album. And that's unlike the Anani album. I mean, the Anani album is very, like, I think it's clever in the way it approaches politics, but it's very explicitly political. I mean, the Blood Orange album is as well, but it's very personal, too.
Right.
I think it's more, like, less about a cause and more about, like, kind of a a creative spirit, like coming to terms with, you know, these kind of unfathomable, like sad realities of life. But at the same time, you know, the music is beautiful, very gorgeous, danceable, in that kind of like more like shoulder dance. Like you sit right, in one yep. spot and you kind of like gyrate your shoulders to it. And who doesn't need more of that?
Joe is acting out what he's like this. Describing.
Keep going, Joe.
Yeah, FYI. Keep these shoulders going. So that was one of my favorites, definitely. I mean, yeah, what about you guys? Thoughts on that?
I mean, my Blood Orange experience, like, I didn't get super, super into the album, but at Panorama, I saw him, and he did a Love Supreme, the John Coltrane song.
Wow.
And
that's really pandering to you.
I'm just trying to appreciate the artist that you brought up, Joe. but yeah, and it was really lovely. I mean, he did it. It was jazz-y, but not like, you know, it wasn't like he switched into bebop. It was just like playing the song, which is one of Coltrane's sort of more ethereal, whatever, jam-oriented compositions. But yeah, it was great. And great. I was like, I appreciate you for doing
great
this.
Live artist, Blood Orange. And yeah, I love this album. I think it's a little tiny bit too long, but I think that there's so many highs that I don't even really mind it.
I can agree with that. I think there's, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of albums this year, I would say. Like I love the Kanye, again, probably could lose a couple tracks.
Facts.
I love the Frank Ocean. That's another one that I might shave down a little bit.
I didn't like Frank Ocean.
Even honestly, the Chance the Rapper, like I thought Coloring Book was a little, not too long, but
there's
a little,
few self-indulgent tracks, but I think only as many as any normal album. That one seems pretty tight to me.
Speaking of good albums, though, that definitely are way too long and have titles that are too long, the 1975 album, which I liked. Like, I liked their first album. I thought it was good. But the new one is great. So much on it is, like, genuinely innovative and original for, like, rock and, like, alternative pop. But, man, I mean, that album is, like, to listen to in one sitting is, like, unlikely, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't going to bring them up just to talk about, like, another white guy band after Pine Grove. But, yeah, the 1975 is my number one album of the year.
Really?
Yeah. I just think it's, like...
So what about it makes it your number one?
I think that there are, like...
Is it that Matt's cute? Is that what...
It's mostly because Maddie is so cute. Mm-hmm. No, I just think that... I agree with you that it's way too self-indulgent, but I think it kind of fits with the entire attitude
of the album. I think it kind of benefits from the self-indulgence in a lot of ways.
I think that there are like five contenders for Song of the Year on that one album. I just think that like, seriously, I just like...
Love Me is astounding.
Like Love Me, Change of Heart, Somebody Else, The Sound. Like I think they're all just like perfect songs. And I mean, by far the album I've listened to the most. Obviously, it came out early in 2016, but it really took me by surprise because I didn't love their first album. And it's just, it's so wacky and so like in on itself, but can actually back it up. I love it.
I mean, I guess at some point we'll have to get there. So there's two ones there's no way we can avoid. So let's check one off the list right now. Billboard's number one album of the year. Probably, I mean, I said Anani's my favorite, but if I'm like being like, what was the best album of the year? Like, it definitely was Beyonce's nominated. I just think, there's no way around, you know, it's just like it's a firm, solid, like, creative artistic statement, and it's just like endlessly listenable. And like, how often do you get those? The answer is
no,
not that
it's
often.
So I love it. I'm really interested to see some of the backlash. Like, some of the people I've talked to about it, they're like, oh no, not another list with Lemonade as number one. It's like, okay, well, why? And they say Sandcastles. You know, it's like that one song. Right. So I'm just like,
no, I mean, yeah, the song's not great, but
only reason for not thinking, like, every album has a not
right. great even, song. Even if you name, like, so, most greatest albums of all time, there's one there's you can highlight song, as, yeah. like, kind of a meh song.
Yep.
And I think that's fine. It's forgivably meh.
Yeah. I mean, it's supposed to, if you're watching the movie, it's all about tracing this narrative. Right. And to me, it completely makes sense with the kind of story that she's trying to tell, you know. I mean, it's really more of a movie musical than it is like an album, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think if you're talking about like stuff with contender for Song of the Year, like Sorry, Hold Up, Formation, mm-hmm. You know, Pray You Catch Me. I mean, those are all just
Freedom,
you know, yeah, like some of the absolute best that have come out this year. The one with Jack White is so cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. It's a great album. Yeah.
You seem more meh
on Lemonade. Yeah. I mean, it's not like one of my. I my take on it is that it's like a very good album, but not like an excellent album. But like, I also get it that like why people like. It's cool. Like, I like Beyonce. I think that it's cool that, like, she's, more than anything, I think it's cool that she's come into her own as an album artist that makes, not to say that her previous albums weren't, like, full albums, but, like, her last two albums were so fully formed and thought out conceptually that they're more interesting to me than, like, yeah. even though, personally, like, if you're, like, Jason, you're on a desert island, you can only pick one Beyonce album to listen to, I honestly might pick four, but like,
that's a terrible choice.
I mean, fine, but like,
what's wrong with you?
B-Day is better than four.
I was gonna say B-Day is probably
B-Day is
like
so good.
Yeah,
I
that's probably
B-Day.
My go-to.
Well, there you go, guys.
Especially I want to listen to the extended version, the remix that has Check Up on it.
I want to listen to End of Time until the end of time.
No,
but that's the thing is that like I think that I am always interested in artists who are making bold and fascinating ideas come to life, and she's doing that. Like, even I honestly didn't like, I've listened to Lemonade a bunch of times. I haven't found myself like returning to it, which is I guess why I'm a little bit lower on it than you guys. But again, like
a lot of the songs have been coming to my regular rotation either as like a waking up music or like going pre-party music, like
yay.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's just such a like people have talked a lot about Solange too, as far as sort of great albums of the year, and I'm gonna just go right with the temptation to compare them because I think there's a lot of similarities. Well, just as far
they are sisters, also. Yes, I think that's a fair enough comparison.
They could be completely different artists, but they're not. Yeah. They're both sort of tapping into like the more experimental side of R&B. Sure. And I think for me, the thing that makes Beyonce is so much more just really exceptional is the fact that she took so many risks and clearly like really pushed herself in a way that was like that she doesn't have to do. Beyonce does not have to care. She doesn't have to work. She doesn't have to push herself. But when she does, the results are insane because she's a genius. You know, it's like what came out of that album is just like, you know, it's the kind of thing, it stands out alone this year because she's the kind of artist that stands alone, as we saw from, like, you know, her VMAs performance, her Super Bowl performance. Yeah. She just simply has the kind of musical command and creativity that is, you know, once in a lifetime kind of thing. We just gotta let it be.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor.
That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
I think, I mean, yeah, without, I knew this was going to happen, but without talking about Beyonce forever, I think it is like a real achievement that, like, you're right, like at this point people are kind of in the backlash mode where they're, you know, being like, oh, well, why is it number one on every list? It's not actually that good. Like, I think, like, and Jason is going to hate this, but rewind back to 4, like, that Beyonce album. Like, at that point, like, her relevance and, like, creative powers, like, as in terms of, like, a someone who's going to be around forever, like, didn't seem assured. Like, totally. It really did seem like she might, maybe not fall off the map, but, like, you know, not be, like, changing the cultural conversation. And this is, like, the exact opposite. Like, she is in complete command of her image. She is, like, leading the charge in terms of, like, pop artists being political or even just, like, self-expression. And that's a really, like, that isn't, now we take it as a given because it happened, but, like, that didn't need to be that way. It is that way because she, like, worked at it, because she planned it out, she thought about it, and she worked hard
towards it. I mean, usually we don't find artists that reach a point where they are completely creatively free and also literally at the center of every spotlight. Like, that intersection is so rare, and she's there. Like, she's in total control, you know, there's nothing, you know, maybe a Beyonce scandal will erupt, but it seems like they're all manufactured by her to further, like, her own career. Yeah. So, you know, it seems sort of unlikely at this point.
But I think that's sort of the theme with all of the consensus albums of the year, which is total and creative freedom and the limitlessness that comes with that. If you think of someone like Frank Ocean, Kanye West, David Bowie even, Chance the Rapper, like the all of these artists whose albums are being considered the best albums of the year, don't really have those kind of expectation in terms of, you know, they, like, especially Chance the Rapper, he can do whatever the heck he wants. Kanye's gonna do whatever the heck he wants. Bowie.
Do you think that Chance the Rapper can do whatever he wants? I mean, he's an up-and-coming star still.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think
know if he can, but he did, though, with this.
He did something great. I don't know if it was without risk, you know? I think that he has more to lose than Beyonce does on an album, you know?
That's true.
True.
Well, now that you mention him, let's also talk about Bowie. You know, early, probably, you know, like the first great album of the year. I thought this is another one where, and I feel like too often, like, this happens where an artist dies, and so their last album, you know, like, gets a lot of praise, maybe unjustly. That's not the case with it. I think Black Star is, like, genuinely, like, one of the best rock albums for sure. Probably one of the best albums, period, of the year. Several songs on it, I found myself the first track certainly, like, returning to for just pleasure listening. Like, you know, it's a weird sound, but it's a very enjoyably weird atmospheric sound. But, you know, there's some things where you, like, listen to, so you're like, all right, I'm gonna experience this album that everyone's talking about, but then it's like, what do you actually return to, like, when you're, like, stressed out or whatever.
You know, what's funny is that, so I'm curious as to, like, what album, and kind of going off the Bowie path for a second, like, what albums or albums do you guys think of, like, as a chore this year that were kind of critically beloved?
That is a good question.
Because none of, like, not to sound like a hipster, like, I didn't really find myself returning to a lot of the, obviously I'm not a big fan of this Kanye album or the last Kanye album. I've made that pretty clear. But, like, even like the Frank Ocean left me a little bit cold.
Oh, yeah, no, I hate the Frank Ocean album.
I mean,
I enjoyed that a lot. I hear what you're saying, chore, but whatever.
But I was just curious as to, like, which of those albums you guys, it sounds like Frank Ocean for you. What about you, Joe?
I'm looking at Billboard's Best Album of the Year list right now.
What's the top 10?
So I can
10?
Give you.
Yeah, read the top 10.
Give me a second, guys. I'm looking at it. Another one. This is not a chore album, but the Young Thug, Jeffrey, that's another one that I didn't get around to until later in the year that I absolutely loved.
It's very good.
A lot more than I thought I would.
Well, there you go.
All right, chore albums. Sorry, there's too much dead space. Someone talk about something they really liked. Okay. Here's one as I see it. And I hate to say it, but the Weeknd, I actually thought, and I love the Weeknd, but like, I think it's just, it's a little too long, and it's a lot of what we've
it's
heard
also
from
the Weeknd
before. So that's one for me. What about you guys? Chore albums. The Radiohead a little bit, I would say.
Oh, I like that one.
As
that
great as I thought it was, I think Burn the Witch is incredible, and then I think it like slowly like loses steam. Okay, here's Billboard's top 10
now.
Let's
do it.
So I'm going to say, and you guys scream your approval or disapproval.
Okay.
Anderson .Paak, Malibu.
Boo.
Oh, that's one of one of my favorite albums of the year.
Let's have a little discussion then. We've got a boo and a favorite album.
You really don't
album.
Like that album. I'm interested why.
Lazy misogyny. Same reason I hate The Weeknd and Drake, all in the same category for me. I do appreciate Anderson .Paak's aesthetic, and like, you know, I like Knowledge, the producer he works with primarily. I love him, but it's just like the lyrics are so gross. If you could,
that's true.
If I call you a bitch, it's because you're my bitch. Like, no, that's not. It's not my scene.
Yeah, that's very fair. I mean, same with Young Thug. That album is very gross in parts. I mean, that's really what has turned me off about Kanye, is that, like, I don't even, like, one of the first songs on Life of Pablo is, like, the bleach.
Yeah.
Let's call it the bleach line.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
yeah, it's good,
I'm
it's
so
gross.
Off, I'm so out on it already. Like, I just, like.
It's gross. But for me, the, like, aesthetic innovations, like, allow me to overlook those a little bit, although it still grosses me out and I feel conflicted, but that's been an issue with Kanye forever, so.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I think you're right about that. The one thing I would say in Thug's defense is that his misogyny is like, I don't even know, like, if
it's
called misogyny.
So
it's just like explicit sexuality.
Right.
And I think that's different than kind of like a casual like sexism.
It's just
like
lazy.
I think that's maybe a little more insidious, you know, than someone talking about like eating out an ass. It's like that just is what it is, you know. It's maybe more offensive
we should
to
move
people.
On.
No,
but
I
it's
don't,
not inherently
I mean,
wrong.
I agree. Like Pick Up the Phone is one of my top songs of the year. I adore that song, and it's Young Thug, Quavo, and Travis Scott. Like, I don't even like Travis Scott, but that song is so good, and I personally find it very romantic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's right. Sweet. Never will I cheat on you, never will I commit treason.
Aww.
Like that's nice.
That's a good line.
Surprisingly romantic hip hop album this year. One of your faves, Kevin Gates.
Kevin.
Love that album.
Joe hates Kevin.
I don't hate Kevin. I'm not
gifted.
A big fan.
He's gifted. You just, I mean, he's crazy, but he's gifted. It's, you know, often those things go together.
He is absolutely, that is absolutely true. What else we got in the top 10?
So let's move on. That was number 10. Number 9, we've talked about Maren Morris, Hero.
Yay. True.
Oh, and by the way, this is the Billboard. It's
democratically elected.
Billboard's 50 best albums of 2016. We are counting down the top 10, and this was, yes, democratically elected amongst Billboard staffers. So while all of us voted in this, we didn't have final say. And, you know, in, I would say probably most of our cases, maybe our favorites aren't even in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, that's not true, because the number one is something we all love, except Jason.
Yes,
he's a Beyonce hater, or he only likes four.
Yeah.
He only
Attention
likes her commercially least successful album.
Jason,
first of all,
does not
I
like
said
Beyonce.
That the album's very good. I would say the exact same thing
I'm
for
just
the self-titled.
Letting them know, you know, they need to be guided.
Right, exactly. Right, yes, you can find him at okay. The next one is the 1975 album, which we have talked about. I've already hit most of these. Solange, Seat of the Table, is number 7. Here's one we haven't called. Or wait, is there? Am I skipping one? Okay, the Tribe album, Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah, great album.
That is a good album. Okay, what do you guys think about it?
I like haven't listened to it as much, but I think it was just so great to hear them. I don't know. Yeah. It made me so happy. Like, you know, they're incredible musicians. And
anything that is like that includes like a Busta Rhymes renaissance, I am all in on. So.
Right. Oh, he's incredible.
Yeah, he's great
and
on that
he
album.
He looks like it's. I don't know if you've seen him live. Like, he's so fit. It's crazy.
I know. Good for him.
It's just like
jacked.
Nuts.
Well, there was that thing where he like punched somebody in a gym.
Yeah. No, like, I don't know. Him and Madonna just like must be like lifting weights all day together. Just
that's
like high fiving and lifting weights. That's just all
I
they
hope
do.
That they're friends. That would be great.
That would be nice. Number 5 on the Billboard list is Frank Ocean's Blonde, which again, we've talked about. David Bowie Blackstar is number four. We talked about that one too. Chance the Rapper Coloring Book, which we hit on. We've already, okay, number two is Life of Pablo, which we talked about. Lemonade is number one. So
yeah,
let me see if there's anything on this that we, oh, Rihanna's Anti, yeah, number 11. I loved that. And that was that was such an interesting rollout, because I feel like everyone, it was just so, like, it was coming out and then it wasn't coming out.
When you say interesting, I would say maddening, but
yeah, maddening, messy. Like, I think everyone was kind of expecting, because usually what happens, at least with a movie, is when there's such a weird release, that means like it's something's bad and they're wrong, trying to fix it. Yeah. And I think that's what everyone was expecting with this. And then instead we got this, like, really mature, like, great album where, like, we hear, like Love on the Brain is, like, a side of Rihanna that we hadn't heard before. And she sounds, like, absolutely phenomenal doing it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like, Work was a huge smash.
As much. But, like, the first seven songs of that album I listened to, like, went back and over and over and over. The bottom half I didn't like as much, but... you know, Needed Me was, it was interesting to me that Work topped so many critical lists. Like, to me, Needed Me is the clear, like, standout.
Yeah,
that
I love that one too.
It's just, it's so good. Mustard, DJ Mustard.
I was a huge fan of that album. I love, like, everything about it.
Elsewhere on our list, we've got The Mitski, which I love.
Yeah, good album.
That was another kind of, you know, like, the one of the indie ones. I think it's called Fireworks. That's, like, lyrically one of my favorite songs of the year. With Mitski, Fireworks, that one, it's like 3 minutes. Spend 3 minutes listening to it, people. It's okay. Good stuff.
Done and done.
The Drake Views. We didn't talk about that. What? So, blockbuster album, Drake's biggest album yet. I really, like, kind of thought I was, like, maybe his weakest record yet, but obviously it's his biggest, so what do I know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that it's grasping it way too much, and I think that that's why it was so successful, honestly, which is, like, it had something for everybody, but also wasn't, like, I thought it was a step back for him creatively.
I mean, it's definitely, just like, he's so solidified his brand of Drakiness, and this is like a peak Drake album. Like, every song is like, this is me, Drake, saying Drake things over beats that sound like Drake. You know, it's just like, there's no no surprises, no anything. And, like, I hate Drake as it is, so an album that's like peak Drake is just something that makes me feel really depressed. That said, I like Too Good, even though I hate the lyrics. Like, it's a fun song. You're not too good to anyone, Drake. I can guarantee it.
There's gonna be a lot of, we should have a Natalie barfing, like, sound effect on this podcast,
right?
Like, and the new Drake
doing it.
It's just like barf drop, barf, barf, barf. Anyway,
but, like, is that not gross? Like, I don't know. I just, ugh.
Yeah.
His whole vibe is so creepy. Like, I'm not. It makes me really depressed. But no, it's a huge commercial success. So, you know, the question has to be asked over and over and over again. Like, who are these people who love Drake? You know,
millions of
most people.
I know, and why? And that's what I want to know.
Well, I will say, you know, for someone who just said I didn't think the album was that great, like, it is, like, it's fine listening. Like, if it's on, you're not like, oh my god, turn this off. Like,
is,
you know,
Drake easy listening rap? Is this
it kind of is? It's just like
code?
It's not offensive. It's, you know, you can kind of
it
get into it.
To me.
Maybe lyrically, but, like, musically, like, it doesn't like irritate. It's just like nice enough listening to put on in the background.
Drake is rap, smooth jazz. Oh my god, we've
and I think
code.
Yeah, it kind of just, like, appeals to, you know, everyone. Like, everyone can be like, oh, this is pretty good. You know, it's like, which you couldn't do, like, the Kanye album, too polarizing. Young Thug, too niche. You know, like, Drake, exactly
Drake is
right.
Literally smooth jazz. That this hip-hop, like, has just, Joe, we've just, like, answered all of my life's quandary.
Okay, next on Billboard's list, this one I stand hard for, great debut, debut. What did I just say?
I like that.
Anyways, debut.
It's been a long day.
It has been. Gallantology. I loved that, and I saw him live. Absolutely astounding. Like, I just think like he's like one of the ones. And I could be wrong, but like I feel like he'll be here around for decades. Like, and Gold is just such
decades.
Wow. Well, what? I mean, he's young, and I think he's a real talent.
Sold like 3 copies, but you know, details.
Ouch, I mean, I'm
just
ouch,
no. Yeah. It's true. It's true. I just know because we talked about, you know, doing something bigger with him in the magazine, mm-hmm. and then it was just like there was just not the
sales weren't there. That's too bad. I think his voice is astounding. The album is incredible. Maybe it was a promotional thing. I don't know. But
yeah, I don't know.
It's a good album. I like
yeah,
it.
I thought it was fantastic. Sia, this is acting. That's what I didn't like it as much as the Sia album previous, and I said that to someone and they jumped down my throat. But what would you?
That's a strange thing to jump down your throat. Like, I don't know. Like,
wait, who are the passionate Sia fans?
Well, there are a lot of passionate Sia fans. Who? Believe you me.
I don't believe you.
I want passionate Sia fans on Twitter right now to find Natalie. No, I'm kidding.
Wow. No. Give her 1,000 forms of fear. Anyway,
I didn't say anything bad about Sia. I'm just curious.
No, I think This Is Acting is really good. I think that it had some really great singles. I thought it was better live than on the record myself, but that's me.
Anything that brings Sean Paul back to number one is
anything.
Okay.
That was, 100%. Anything. Yeah, awesome. Angel Olsen, My Woman, also on our list. I loved that one. That is, that's kind of folk music I like.
Yeah.
I mean, that's also, see, that falls into my sweet spot of, like, depressing music that is very enjoyable. Like, it's pleasurable depressing. Like, it's like when you're sad, you listen to it, and it's the depression, like, mirrors your own, and it makes you feel better about your own sadness. So if you are such a person like that, Angel Olsen, My Woman, definitely worth seeking out. Let's look what else we got on our list. The Ariana Grande album. I loved that. I think
You Better, Forever Boy. That's the
Forever
best song.
Forever Boy is
it's
incredible.
One of my top 10 songs
so
of the
good,
year.
So good, so beautiful. Like, Indie was probably my favorite song of the year.
Really?
I know, but it's just so good.
I like New Better. It's my favorite song off that album.
Joanne, Lady Gaga.
Uh-oh. You should let Jason go off.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying anything except that "Perfect Illusion" is the best lead single ever.
Wrong. I thought Joanne was good. I definitely think it was different from what I'm expecting, but a lot of songs on it, like "Dance in Circles," I loved.
I will not comment.
All right, we'll politely move on.
We should talk. Let's talk about like in because. We got it. We should wrap this up.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about like an album that people should check out that were not on like most of the lists? Like, let's do some recs.
Right, hit me.
Well,
with
you
one,
guys.
Jason.
Did, well, I want to hear what you guys have to say.
Well, I mean, I think No Name was on a lot of lists, but I would recommend that album. And also, as far as jazz, I would say, you know, not that anyone listening to this cares about jazz, but if they were to. Ben Wendell and Steve Lehman both put out very good albums this year. Both saxophone players, but
I don't know anything about either of those people.
I know.
Are they like newer?
That's why we're doing this.
Are they older or like what's?
No, they're new. I mean, new-ish. They're both kind of like late 20s, early 30s. And Ben Wendell is just kind of like he is chill, but not boring. It is like smooth jazz if you don't like smooth jazz, you know, like just kind of like very lyrical and melodic and about the composition as much as the improvisation. But just really, really nice album. And then Steve did an album that was like it had a Senegalese MC and also this guy from Brooklyn. I don't remember their names off the top of my head, but it was kind of like jazz hip hop. Mashup, but it's like super, super out and cool and great and works well and is not corny. So, yeah.
Cool. What do you got, Joe?
I would say I write these things down because I forget things so easily. So I'm looking at what I wrote down that I like this year. And I would say the Y Oak, the new Y Oak album, Tween, is beautiful and really fun.
I listened to that again because I really liked their last album.
Yeah, it's just, it's a really different, eclectic, but kind of like bedroomy sound.
Yeah.
And the other thing, I would say they didn't have a new album this year, but they had two new singles. And of course, I can't remember what the name, so let me look what those up. But the group Power Bottom, who are like kind of a punky power pop group. The new song that I adored was called Projection, and they also had another one called New Hampshire, and both of those were just like astounding and incredible.
Astounding.
So, just like, go. Well, there wasn't a lot of good, just like straightforward rock this year, and like they definitely fall into, like, the image wise, like they're nothing straightforward, but in terms of the sound, like, yeah, it's just like, you're like, yes, that is a solid, well executed rock song.
Well, there you go.
So I would recommend those.
Nice, man. My two are, I really love, these are two albums in my top 10 personally. The King album, We Are King, like spacey R&B female trio, and they're just unbelievable. Like, I think that they had a single a couple years ago that's on the album called In the Meantime, and it's just very lush and beautiful, and I've just been listening to this album nonstop.
I like all those words, so yeah. I'm gonna go check that out.
Check out We Are King. They're the best. They're up for a Grammy, which is great.
Really?
For best like that's urban good. Contemporary album, I think. Mm-hmm. So very cool. And then one of my personal favorites is the M83 album, Junk.
I was like, waiting for you to get around.
Yeah, let's go.
I do like that
let's
album.
Let's go.
But I do love how like cheesy it is, but, like, purposefully cheesy.
I think that it's just such an interesting concept for like an electronic record, basically like Saturday morning cartoon pop. Like, mm-hmm. and it's done so well, and like, you know,
has it done so well?
No, it's done so well. It has not done so well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, in terms of following up like Midnight City and something like that, like, they clearly didn't try to, but there are some really, really great songs on there. And I think I've seen M83 live more times than any artist this year, and like every time I just think they're unbelievable. So yeah, Junk, check it out. I didn't know why, like, critics did not like that album.
They did not like it at all. I agree with
it.
You. I thought it was very good. It's not one of my top, but I thought it was great.
So good.
Another left field one before we leave you. The sound, and I still haven't seen the movie, but I just this is so weird. The soundtrack to the movie Jackie, starring Natalie Portman, is by
I've heard the score.
Mika
it's really
Levy.
Good.
It's incredible. Like, she had this band called Mikachu and the Shapes a few years ago that I was obsessed
Whoa,
with.
Oh, I didn't know it was her.
And that is the lead singer from that. She's classically trained.
She did
the score for Under the Skin, which was remarkable. So it's just really like a fantastic listen.
Cool.
It's a quick one.
Well,
like
you know, another left field pick. For the fourth year in a row, the best song of the year is Body Party.
Oh, wow. Very bold. Very bold.
Yeah, well, if we're being honest, I mean, I think I tweeted this a while back. I was like, I mean, my number one album of 2016 is Anna's Hopelessness, but really my number one album of 2016 was Donna Summer's Bad Girls. So as it has been running number one album for the last 3 years.
My number one song will always be Body Party, now and forever.
Yeah.
Because, you know. Some things are just undeniable.
Toast to that.
Mike Will making it is one of those things.
Mike Will making it. All right. So yeah, we're approaching the end of the year. If you have stuff that you loved, please tweet it at us. Any recommendations or thoughts on the stuff we talked about? And thanks so much for listening. And I hope your 2017 is better than your 2016.
Yeah.
Yay.
And we will see you next time. All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.